Matthew chapter number 25 for the reading of the Word of God. The Bible said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" If correctly read, that's 13 verses in Matthew 25. I'd like to speak this morning for a little while on this subject. Are you ready? Are you ready? The Word of God said here in this verse that they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Are you ready to go in with him to the marriage? We'll examine the verses together. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, today that you would just, Lord, illuminate our hearts and our minds that we might see truth that would help us. Help the saints of God today, Lord. May we rejoice in the fact, Lord, that, Lord, when Jesus comes, we're ready. We're not ready, Lord, because of something that we have done. But we're ready, Lord, because of we've trusted our Father, that which you have done for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we have on the robe. We have oil in the lamp. The light is burning in this dark world that we live in. God, my burden today in my heart is for those that aren't ready. I pray you'd speak to someone today, Lord. Help them to get ready before it's too late. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Jesus gives parables to tell a spiritual truth by using a earthly mannerism or story. And he's trying to tell us today that the bridegroom's coming, and that on the earth today, there are those that are wise and there are those that are foolish. Now, I don't believe we ought to run around calling people a fool. The Bible said, "Whosoever saith thou fool is in danger of hell fire." But I do believe this. I believe a preacher that preaches the whole counsel of God will stand up and say there's some things that God said in the Word of God is foolish, and make a fool out of a man. The fool has said in his heart there is no God, for example. Fools make a mock at sin. Let me tell you this. With all the indications, all the signs that are pointing, amen, toward the coming of the Lord, the fool is the one that's not making preparation to leave this world behind, amen, and go and be with the Lord. I want to notice just a couple of things in this story, and I pray that you'll bear with me, and I pray the Spirit of God. I didn't intend to preach this today. I thought at 9 o'clock I was ready, excited, had God's message, but the Lord said, "I've got another direction I want you to go in. I ain't got no better sense than to go with God. I don't like to miss Sunday school. I'll catch it up. I don't know who taught, Brother Thurman, Brother John. I'm sure somebody taught the Word of God. I'll get it on CD. But this morning I had to spend a little time right here because that's what God wanted for this service. God's trying to rescue someone. God's trying to get someone ready for the coming of the Son of God. And I believe it's important that we listen to the message. I want to give you, number one, the similarities. I want you to notice the similarities in the parable. For example, this morning, we're all in the same room. We have that in common. We're gathered together. We have that in common. All of us this morning, thank God, have clothes on. We have that in common. And all of us this morning understand the English language. We have that in common. There's a lot of similarities. All of us were made by the same Creator. Thank God this world don't understand that, but we have that in common. All of us this morning have ears to hear, and we have that in common. And this morning in the parable, there's some things that are the same. Number one, their title is the same. 10 virgins. They're all called exactly the same thing. They all have the same title. A couple of things about that. Beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, we better be careful and understand that it really doesn't matter what man calls us. It doesn't matter about the man-made or the man-given titles. We better be concerned about what God calls us. Amen. Only God, beloved, listen, knows who are the genuine, born again, children of the living God, and who are not. God knows that this morning. Their title was the same. What they took was the same. They all took lamps. That's what the Word of God said right here. The Bible said they took their lamps. And their 10 virgins, they took their lamps. And listen, they all took the same thing. Now we notice that in the story, and we'll get to it later, that one is a little short of something. They don't have any oil for the lamp. Amen. But here they took the same. Now their task was the same. You say, preacher, what do you mean? They're all going in the same direction. They're all performing the same task. They're all going out to meet the bridegroom. If you'll understand in the parables of the kingdom of heaven in the Bible, beloved, what it tells us over and over and over again, there are some in that parable but have something on their lips that they do not have in their life. They have something in their mouth that they do not have in their heart. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, an example, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And he will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Let me say this, it's important. He didn't say, I once knew you, but I don't know you anymore. No, no, no. He said, I never knew you. The only way that Christ will ever know a sinner is through the blood of Calvary's Lamb. It's through repentance and faith, through regeneration, through being born again, through being saved by the grace of God. That's the only way that God will ever know a sinner. And the only way a sinner will ever know God is to come God's way by way of the cross and be saved by the grace of God. Their task was the same. They all went out to meet the bridegroom. Their tarrying was the same. What do you mean, preacher? Look at verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They were all in the same place. They were all doing the same thing. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. The Bible teaches that there's coming a day when God is going to separate the tares and the wheat. Beloved, the tares spring up together with the wheat. They grow up together with the wheat. They look just the same. You cannot tell them apart until harvest time. Can I tell you, there's a harvest coming, friend. And God knows them that are, and God knows them that are not. Beloved, I believe this. I believe sitting on the pews across America are men and women and boys and girls who know who is and who ain't. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I can stand before you this morning. It's not presumption. It's faith in the Word of God. It's faith in a Savior that saves. And I can say I'm not guessing about it. But I know that I know that I know that heaven is my home. And when the bridegroom comes, I'm going to go out to meet him. And there's oil in my lamp. Thank God Almighty, there's a light in my soul this morning. Amen. Do you know that? There's similarities in the parable. Now let's notice some differences in the parable. The Bible said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins. They took their lamps. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. And in verse 2, it said, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, beloved, I'm not real smart. But I know there's a great deal of difference between someone that's wise and someone that's foolish. There's a great deal of difference between someone like Solomon, that God had given wisdom beyond measure, and someone like the rich young ruler. Someone like the man that said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater. And the Bible said, thou fool, no, you don't know. Thou knowest not that this night thy soul will be required of thee. Then who will these things be? Boy, what if we think about that? When we go down the road in our car, we ought to be thinking about, I wonder who the next set of hands will be on this steering wheel. Help me. When we open the door into our home, we ought to recognize we're not going to live there forever. Somebody else is going to live in that house after a while. Amen. Somebody else will be going by the bank after a while. Anybody with me this morning? Listen, the things of this world are not made to last forever. And the Word of God's telling us wisdom. The Bible said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom is looking beyond this stinking world that we live in. Him to a home in heaven with the Lord. But the fool, he piles everything up. And I tell you what, instead of looking at the master, he's looking, beloved, at the pile of stuff down here. Instead of looking at the Savior, instead of thanking God, beloved, for the hands that God has given, the feet that God has given, and the ability that God has given, he's eat up in his pride, thinking he's accomplished something in this world. And you can't even breathe without God. That's what the Bible said. Amen. In Him we live and move and have our being. Beloved, listen, that's not just talking about saved folk. Even a lost man can't breathe without God this morning. One preacher said years ago, I got tickled when he said it. He said, a lost man ought to tithe. He's breathing God's air and drinking God's water. I never heard anything like that before. Amen. We owe it all to Him. The wise man realizes he does. And the foolish man goes on in life thinking he's something when he's nothing. The Word of God said, beloved, listen, we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Oh, beloved friend, this morning, there's a Word of God here for us. There's a difference. Some were wise. Some were foolish. Some had a lamp, but didn't have a light. It's amazing. Miss Eve, I just thought about something. Two flashlights sitting above the TV. Two flashlights. They're both what they call mag lights. I happen to like them. They've been pretty dependable for me. They're bright. They have a beam on them that can be adjusted. You can adjust it wide like a floodlight, or you can adjust it narrow like a spotlight if you need real bright light or you need to see something further in the distance. They're both sitting there. Oh, glory to God. I can't even believe I remembered this. But anyway, they're both sitting there. Oh, listen to me. Both of them got batteries in them, and only one of them puts out a light. You want to know why? One of them's missing something. You say, preacher, what do you mean it's missing something? It's missing a good bulb. It's got a bulb in it, but it's not making the connection. How many knows there's a little wire inside of that bulb? And beloved, when that bulb blows, it doesn't matter how good the batteries are, how fresh the batteries are, how many you've got on hand. The flashlights look just alike. One of them takes 3 batteries, the other one takes 2. They're the same diameter. They take the same size battery, and one of them will shine when you hit the button, and the other one will not. And all that's required is a little connection. I'm going to tell you this morning, those that are shining have a connection with another land. The Holy Ghost of God, the oil in the Word of God, is a type of Him that you cannot see. He's the one that keeps the lamp burning this morning. Hallelujah. We need to understand this morning. The Word of God said, are you ready? They were ready. Some were not ready. The differences, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. There was a lamp without a light. The Bible said in verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. I don't know. Listen, I've tried to study this out. I'm serious this morning. When I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. You'll read different accounts of what those lamps were. Some of them say, Brother Rose, if you could imagine taking the spoke out of this banister right here, wrapping a rag around the top of it. Some of them say the oil was in a different vessel and you had to soak the rag in the oil and that was the torch, that was the lamp. Others say in Jewish culture there was a little vessel, amen, and it looks like it's more apt to be this way because the Word of God said, beloved, listen, that they had no oil, they ran out of oil. Are you listening to me? They had no oil to light the lamp. That's what the Word of God said. And the others, they took some extra oil. They took that oil realizing that it wasn't going to last forever down here. Amen. But there had to be something, beloved, to get them on through to the bridegroom when the bridegroom came. Beloved, let me tell you something. Only God's going to get us through. 50 years here at the church, I tell you, it'd be foolish to say anything but this. Only God has got us through. Honey, it ain't you, it ain't me, it ain't any other man. God uses men, yes He does. But I'll tell you, it's the God of heaven, beloved, that's building the church. It's the God of heaven that started the church. It's the God of heaven that's sustaining the church. It's the God of heaven that's feeding the church. It's the God of heaven that's coming after the church one day, after a while. Oh, beloved friend, there's some differences. The wise and the foolish. A lamp without a light, in verse number 3. But then there's a lamp with a light in verse number 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. Let me tell you something, beloved. You think about this. When you lay down tonight, if you're not saved by the grace of God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will bring these words back to your mind. You just better remember, well, beloved, we're living in the midnight hour. And just any time, there's going to be a cry made. The bridegroom cometh. Are you going to be ready? Beloved, listen. You say, well, I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll get ready. That's what they thought. They said, give us some of your oil. They said, we can't do that. Not enough for you and us. There's enough. Listen to me. Glory, glory, glory. There's enough for everybody. Listen to me. But you got to all go to the same source. That oil, we can't share it between us. We all got to go to the same Savior. We got to go to the same source. The same Holy Ghost has got to birth all of us into the family. The same Lord has got to save every one of us. We don't pass it around from believer to believer. We all have to come as a sinner to the Savior. Beloved, listen. If you ever stop and think, maybe the reason you have no interest in the house of God is there's no oil in your lamp. Do you ever stop and think a reason that Bible lays there days without end, weeks without end, and months without end, there's no oil in your lamp? Do you ever stop and think the reason you never speak a word to anybody else about their soul is there's no oil in your lamp? You say, preacher, I wouldn't talk like that. Do you ever stop and think the reason you never pray for a sinner, the reason a tear never runs down your cheek, the reason you're never burdened for people that's lost, you ever stop and think it might just be because there's no oil in the lamp? You say, preacher, I wouldn't preach like that. That's why God calls men that will. We need to be stirred. We need to be challenged. I'm going to tell you what everybody that's got oil in their lamp knows what it is to be burdened for some poor lost soul. Everybody that's got oil in their lamp knows what it is to love that Word of God, to love the church, and to love God more than anything in this world. You say, preacher, it's not that way in my life anymore. Well, if it ever has been, it's because you were saved by the grace of God. And because now there's a distance between you and God. Beloved, listen, that's why God allows repentance, not just for sinners, but for saints. He allows us to turn around and do the first works. That's what the Bible said in the book of Ephesus. So many things they were doing right, but God said, you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Glory to God, I didn't see this coming. Or else I'll remove the candlestick. The light will go out. Oh, beloved friend, God wants us to see the similarities. God wants us to see the differences. Let me give you this morning. The foolish in this story had good intentions. Had very good intentions. Even when the wise looked at them and said, we can't help you. You got to go get your own oil. They went and they obtained the oil. That's what the Word of God said. They came back. Listen to me. But it was too late. The door was shut. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? It's not what I'm saying. It's what the Word of God's saying. Listen, that door that was shutting wise people in, but it was shutting foolish people out. Listen to me carefully. How many believes there were believers? I said believers standing on the outside of the door to the ark. Now, they were unbelievers when God shut the door. God told Noah and his children and his wife, come thou in. And the Word of God said, God shut the door. And there was a bunch of unbelievers out there. But honey, let me tell you something. When that pitter-patter started coming down, that thing called rain, and when God burst open the earth, the Word of God said, and the waters, the fountains of the deep broke up, and that water began to come up around their ankles and their knees and their waist. I'm telling you, outside of that door was some believers. Here's the key. They waited too late to believe. Let me tell you something this morning. Hear me well. Hell is full of believers. They've heard messages like this. They've heard about Calvary. They've heard about Jesus. And they rejected the Son of God. And they died without God. And they mocked the doctrine of hell. They mocked the doctrine of judgment. But they're not mocking today. You see, the rich man wasn't mocking, Brother Steve. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented. His first instinct in hell was the same instinct while he lived on earth. That was to take care of his stinking self. But when he couldn't take care of himself in hell, his next instinct kicked in. He said, well, Abraham said, there's a great gulf fixed. You can't come over here. And Lazarus can't come over there. He said, well, do me a favor. I'm paraphrasing. Send him to my father's house. I've got five brothers. There was one in hell, five on the way. But that man, listen, in hell was a believer. I'm not talking about a born-again believer. He waited too late to believe. Hearing the Word of God of these foolish virgins, they believed. They believed they needed oil. They went to get it, but they went too late. There's a tribulation hour coming on this world. The Bible said men and women are going to run to the rocks. And the mountains, they're going to say, oh, fall on us. Hide us from the wrath of him that sitteth on the throne. They're going to wish to die. The Word of God said and cannot die. You know who those people are? They're believers. What do you mean? Born again? No. They believe now. The judgment's coming because they see it. Some people will never believe till they see. God said, listen, beloved, listen. God didn't say, I'll show it to you if you'll believe. God said, believe me and I'll show you. You've got to believe God to be saved by the grace of God. The differences. The door was shut. The Word of God said in verse number 10, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord. They knew who he was. Open to us. They knew who he was. Let me ask you a question. Listen to me. I'm going to paint you an illustration that will help you if you'll let it. How many of you in this room know who the President of the United States is? Would you raise your hand if you know who the President of the United States is? Now, I'm going to ask you another question. How many of you know the President? Totally different story. You know what our problem is here in the Bible Belt? Everybody knows who Jesus is. But I'm going to tell you something about the Bible Belt. Everybody don't know Jesus. It's one thing to know who Jesus is. It's another thing to know Jesus. They knew who the bridegroom was. They knew he was coming. You say, preacher, what is this a picture of? I'll tell you, it's a picture of a gospel tract that I read one time in a urologist's office in Marion, Virginia, when I was a church member, lost without God. It said, I looked down there and I looked over on that little table and it said, how to miss heaven by 18 inches. And I thought, how in the world could anybody get that close to heaven and miss? I picked it up and I began to read. And the context was describing the difference between a head belief and a heart belief. I'll tell you, you can tell a difference. You say, preacher, how can you tell the difference between whether or not you believe in your head and believe in your heart? Your life will change if you ever believe in your heart. If you ever believe in your heart, the guilt will be gone. The shame will be gone. You'll be clean for the first time in your life. And you can stand and sing, leaning on the everlasting arms. You can stand and sing, glory to His name. You can stand and sing, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord who's crucified, knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. When it comes down in your heart, beloved, you'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. The Bible over and over and over. Let me give you an example. I think I printed this verse. It said, hear ye this, O house of Jacob. Listen. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob. It's Isaiah 48:1. Which are called by the name of Israel. They had that in common. They were all called the same name. And are come forth out of the waters of Judah. They had that in common. Which swear by the name of the Lord. They had that in common. And make mention of the God of Israel. They had that in common. But the Word of God said, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. It's possible to know the language, to know the lingo, to look like. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that knows what's down inside of every one of us. And I believe we sitting in this room today, we know what's down inside of every one of us. Let me rephrase that. Let me get it right this time. We know who's down inside. Honey, it's all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. The Word of God said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Oh, you say, preacher, that's great. No, no. Some bow in time, that's now. Some bow too late. But all of them are going to bow and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A couple of things real quickly. The door was shut. Shut some in, shut others out. It has to do with a couple of things. It has to do with our focus. What are you focusing on this morning? You focusing on the outward or the inward? Well, the inward's what tells the story. Now, it'll break out on you. Somebody said salvation's like the measles. If you got it, it'll break out on you. It'll come out, amen. One little boy had a dog. Man said to him, said, son, what kind of dog is that? He said, it's a police dog. Didn't look like a police dog, looked like a mutt. He said, I don't look like no police dog. He said, he's in the Secret Service. That's where a lot of God's people are, in the Secret Service. That's why you can cuss with them down at the job, listen to their filthy jokes. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to tell you the bridegroom's coming. I'm glad. I'm glad I've been that number's going to go out to meet him. There's oil in the lamp. There's oil. That's his name. This morning has to do with our focus. We focus it on the inward or the outward. It has to do with faith. Some were prepared. Some were not. It has to do with fear. The Word of God said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He said, "Preacher, I ain't worried about Jesus coming. I'm not worried about it either. He's coming. I'm ready. But I'm concerned about those that aren't ready. I'm concerned. I've lifted them up in prayer. And I've asked God to do a work." All right. Let me give you this and I'm done. Why are people unprepared when the bridegroom comes? Number one, they ignore the warning sign. How many of y'all have a vehicle that's modern enough? And there may be some that don't. But both my truck, it's an 01, and my car that the church got for me is an 07. Both of them have a light that comes on. In my truck, it will say low fuel. There's a big square over there on the left-hand side. It'll say low fuel. How many of them have a warning light of some kind? Now, in my car, it comes on a little stronger. There's a gas symbol, and it won't go off by itself. You have to push a button that says reset. I had a motorcycle one time that was an old, I think it was a 75 model. Not sure about that, but I know it was a Honda 750. And on a motorcycle down underneath, you know about this, Brother Randall. There's a setting that you're supposed to run it on, and then there's a setting for reserve. Are they still making them like that, brother? They don't do that anymore? Okay. See, I've done outgrowed the motorcycles. Amen. I was running it on reserve. And I thought, you know what I'm talking about, though, don't you? Please nod your head up and down. Amen. Help me. That way they'll know I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. And I thought I had it on the right setting. I was going up the interstate to work one morning. And I knew I was low on fuel. But that thing went boop, 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 boop. It quit. I said, no problem. I just pulled over and I turned the dial the other way. And it wouldn't hit a lick. Because I was already running it on reserve. I'd run the tank out and run the reserve out too. I got on that thing. I had to push it about a mile to the exit there at Chilhowee. If you know anything about Interstate 81, the exit at Chilhowee goes down. I got on that thing, Brother Thurman. I pushed it to the ramp. I just jumped up, straddled up. My helmet was on the sissy bar on the back. I come down to the bottom of the ramp. And there was a guy working for the state, Brother Wayne, there in the ditch on the right-hand side. I looked over at him. I said, boy, this thing runs quiet, don't it? He wasn't grinning when I got off of it at the stop sign, pushed it around the corner. He knew it had been had. I pushed it around the corner to the gas pump. Just ignore the warning sign. I remember that car warning sign. Miss Eve said, just how many miles do we have left before this thing runs out? And I got into that computer thing there. You got to push a thing or two. It said 3 miles to empty. How foolish is that? To run a vehicle down to within 3 miles. And when man made the computer that's telling you you got 3 miles. It's foolish. I'm going to tell you something else foolish. Try to go to heaven without oil in your lamp. Try to get into the wedding without a wedding garment. Without the righteousness of Christ. To ignore, listen, how many can look at the newspaper and watch the news and just understand in the worldwide situation that we're sitting on a bomb? It could blow up any day. You said, preacher, you trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to tell you the bridegroom is coming. Why do people die without God? Why do they go to hell? They ignore the warning signs. I noticed the other day, my neighbor has a big propane tank. It looks like I think it's about a 250 gallon. It might be a 500 gallon. It's a big one. And I noticed the propane company was up there the other day, Brother Ralph, filling that thing up, that propane tank. You say, "Preacher, why would your neighbor, why would that widow lady, why would she have that thing filled up?" I'll tell you why. Because she understands winter's coming. She didn't want to get up one snowy morning in the snow a foot deep and have to call the propane company and ask them. Oh, she's making preparation ahead of time. She knows winter's coming. Beloved, listen, the wise man's not waiting on Jesus to come. He's making preparation ahead of time. He knows and he understands the warning. Jesus is coming. Why are they unprepared? Number two, they operate in their own wisdom. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto man. They operate not in God's wisdom, but in man's wisdom. The end thereof are the ways of death. The days of Noah, they did that. In Sodom and Gomorrah, they did that. Oh, preacher, I tell you, we just ought to leave that crowd alone. That married men want to marry men and women want to marry women. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. It's going to affect us all one day after a while. We ought to stand for what's right. We had nowhere to back up. We had nowhere to give up. Man's wisdom will never line up with God's wisdom. They refused to believe the word. Jesus is coming. They believed the bridegroom was coming in their mind, but not in their heart. The difference is that belief from the heart produces action and change. And then this, and I'm done. They reject the way of the cross. Jesus is the only way. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting on the front pew at Liberty Baptist Church. We had a guest speaker come in, kind of like Brother Don did last week. And by the way, I thought Brother Don did a tremendous job. I hope and pray to God, if God gives me 80 years, I can still stand and preach the way that precious man of God stood and preached last weekend. You see, God did all that because I've just been a slight acquaintance with Brother Don through the years. But I tell you, when he got up there and told how God saved him, God knit our hearts together. And God could. It don't take God's people 10 years to get to know one another. Ain't God good? Let me tell you something. I was sitting there on the pew, pastor at Liberty Baptist Church, we had a guest speaker in. That man said in a big way, Brother Larry, he said, "There are many roads that lead around the cross." And I thought, dear God, I ain't never had to do this before, but I'm fixing to have jerk somebody out of the pulpit. You say, "Preacher, you mean you'd do that?" Oh, yes. A pastor that loves his sheep will be careful. Then he said this, "Just remember, children, none of them lead to heaven." And I thought, I can live with that statement. Don't try that on the youth, brother. They may not be as patient as I was. Amen. You might be doing something besides carrying a Bible. You might be wearing several of them at the same time. There are many roads. You can get around Calvary, but not and go to heaven. If you go to heaven, you'll go by way of the cross. If you go to heaven, there'll be oil in your lamp when the bridegroom cries in the midnight hour and we go out to meet him. There'll be oil in your lamp. I've obeyed God this morning. There is not one doubt in my mind that somebody in this room is getting a warning from God this Lord's day. You've fooled around and fooled around and fooled around and fooled around, but you're not fooling God. Ain't nobody fooling God. You might be fooling yourself. You might be fooling others, but you know whether there's oil in your lamp. You know whether there's peace in your heart when you lay down at night and realize before the sun comes up in the morning, the Son of God could appear in the eastern sky. You know. God knows. Sometimes others know. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Are you ready? He's coming. Brother Ralph, come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Sister Becky, come. Thank you all for listening, for allowing me the blessed privilege to preach the Word of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you real? Are you the real deal? I'm going to tell you something right now. Something's fixing to happen. It's right on the horizon. Going to separate the real from the fake. Oh, and ever since the president's been running for office, he come up with this term, fake news, fake news. They make it up as they go along. I'm going to tell you something you can't make up. You can't make up a way to heaven. Jesus has already declared, I am the way. Are you real? Or are you fake? You say, preacher, I wouldn't say that. It's a good question. Are you real? Do you know that you know that you know if you died today, heaven would be your home? Or do you know if Jesus comes, you're in trouble with God? Where are you at today? Where are you at? Somebody in this room today, maybe slip up your hand and say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I'm concerned about my soul. I'm looking for the oil, but I just can't find it. I'm looking for the evidence of faith in my life, but I just can't find it. Preacher, the bridegroom's coming, and I know that. But I also know I'm not ready to meet him. Pray for me, anybody like that here today. Be honest enough. Slip that hand up and say, preacher, it's me. It's me, it's me, it's me. Pray for me. Anybody like that today? We're going to stand and sing a verse of an invitation song. Some have already come to pray, no doubt burdened. If you're here today and you're a believer and you believe the bridegroom's coming, you're ready. Maybe you need to pick that burden up too. Help us pray for those that are lost. Father in heaven, you know the need. The Spirit of God has to do the work. God, we've obeyed you this morning. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. God, you've been good to us. You've given us this opportunity to prepare to meet God. Heaven, Lord, is a prepared place for prepared people. Help people to get ready. For surely, Lord, the bridegroom cometh. Help us in Jesus' name.